Together, I want to read a passage of Scripture. And of course, the Scripture is from Matthew 28. And as you remember, Jesus had been crucified. And he was placed in the tomb. And then he rose again. Praise God for the resurrection. And he wanted to meet with his disciples. And so, in this account, Matthew 28, verse 17, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but they were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them and saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. God has said to each and every one of us to go. And for some, we go into the marketplace, as we've talked about. Others of us are going on short-term missions trips to see what God is doing around the world. And some of us are going to go full-time into missions. Some of us are going to go full-time into the ministry, as far as the pastor, the preacher, the teacher, the local church. All of us are going. We don't live on this planet to seek our own pleasures. We're not pursuing, hopefully we're not pursuing the American dream. We're strangers and we're aliens. We're only here for a very brief time. And this would just be a chapel to remind us of that and to solidify our hearts to that end. And you may not even be near that in your thinking. You may be so sick and tired of hearing me say that you'd like to puke. That's all right. That's where you are. Our love isn't unconditional. We'll pray for you. Others of you are beginning mildly to see, hey, this is the truth. This is what the Word of God says. We're ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, whether here in America or whether overseas. And you're beginning to open your mind to that. You're beginning to be challenged by that. You're beginning to be excited by that prospect. And then there are others of you who are so far down that road, you can hardly wait to get out of here because you anticipate the great things that God's going to do in your life. Well, so here we are. We're a group of people, and we're all in different places in our understanding of what God is calling us to do. But together we can worship Him and rejoice in the truth that He has called us to evangelize, to bring the good news. Let's sing together. My faith has found a resting place, not in device or creed. I trust the ever-living One, His wounds for me shall plead. Let's sing together.
Faith has found a resting place, not in device or creed. I trust the ever-living One, His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough and Jesus died and that He died.
Just a little bit faster, Jill.
Enough for me that Jesus saves. This ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul I am. He cast me out. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and died for me. My heart is leaning on the Word, the Word of God. Salvation by my Savior's name, salvation through His blood. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died. Physician heals the sick, the lost He came to save. For me His precious blood He shed, for me His life He gave. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died.
church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord.
The church's one foundation.
Just the ladies here, elect.
Elect.
Everybody now.
Yet she honored that
our provision made in Jesus Christ, the church's one foundation, and yet our joy is to tell the story. So sing it out now.
I love to tell.
Father, we do commit this time to you. We thank you again for the privilege of coming, and we pray that as those who will speak to us today, students giving testimony and others just helping us remember what you have done in our midst in the last little bit, and as we anticipate all that you'll do through us this summer, that you'd give them a peace and a real encouragement to share, that this would be a warm environment for them, that you might be glorified. And as we hear these words of testimony and anticipate the ministries this summer, we pray, Lord, that no one would take glory for themselves, but that all of this would just resound to your praise and to your honor. It's in your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We wanted to begin by asking Mark Hardy to come and kind of help us have a review of what's going on in our ministry teams. Mark.
Good morning. As a dean of ministry teams, most of what I do is behind the scenes. And one of the great privileges that I have is to meet with numerous local church pastors, both locally here and also in the L.A. area, and to set up with them the various and a wide variety, a wide spectrum of ministry opportunities in and through their local church for the students here at the Master's College. Now, ministry teams simply is the bringing together or the bridge by which we bring together those local churches and their ministry opportunities and the students who are interested, and they unite. It's kind of a way of facilitating, of bridging the gap between the two. Now, many of you have been able to utilize ministry teams as far as being able to plug into a local church and to minister in the context of that local church. Many of you have not utilized ministry teams, but still you've been able to find a local church home and be able to find a ministry that you feel that God is leading you into. And both of those are great, because the whole essence of ministry teams is to move the student body to where they're able to find a local church and to a local church where they feel comfortable, where they see that as their home church, and they want to minister and to be used of God to exercise their gifts in the context of that church. Next year, we want to make it even more clear that our commitment at, in light of ministry teams, our emphasis is a commitment to local church ministry, for you to find a local church home, and then also that in the context of that local church, you'd be able to find a ministry where you're able to exercise your spiritual gifts and be used of God in the lives of those that that you minister to. Now, as Russ had said, last October, the theme of our missions conference was urbanization. Now, along with that, in light of the whole missions conference, we had two special speakers come to us. Two pastors from the inner city came and challenged us on the need of moving into the inner city and ministering to the needs that are there. Now, what we've got is Mark Tatlock and Dave DeVries is going to be coming up now. Along with providing the challenge to move into the inner city, these pastors opened up their ministries to us. They gave us opportunities within the context of their local church for us to move in and to minister. And what I've asked Mark and Dave to do this morning is to give an overview of those two ministries. Mark is the shepherd of Faithful Central. Dave DeVries is the shepherd of Evangelical Free Church of Los Angeles. And they're going to also introduce to you a team member from those teams that would like to share a testimony of what the Lord did in their lives through that ministry. Mark?
Those of us who've been ministering down at Faithful Central Missionary Baptist Church down in South Central L.A. have absolutely, absolutely loved the opportunity to worship with those people. It has changed my life. It's given me a whole new perspective on what it means when you come to church and give yourself completely to the Lord. We found ourselves involved this year in many different areas, everything ranging from small group Bible studies. Some of our guys were involved in that going down during the week, meeting with some of the people down there, sharing their hearts, and just studying the Word together. We've been involved in every children's class you can imagine down there, teaching and just loving those kids and giving our hearts to them. That is just so enjoyable. I love visiting those classes. We also found ourselves involved working with the junior high and high school group, giving ourselves a little more intimately to them, working with them, pulling them under our wings. Some of them are really excited about maybe coming here to school in the future, and we want to work more with ties them, bring down some of our sports teams, and really encouraging them, maybe plugging into the school up here. And for a while, even a few of us took the big chance of trying to sing in the choir down there, which was an incredible opportunity. And what I've asked today is I just asked Janet Field to come and share. She was involved in the Light Company. That's their junior high and high school group, and she's just going to share what's on her heart.
Thanks. He, like, introduced it, but I was down at Faithful, and I really learned a lot more about myself than anything. I realized how sheltered of a life I've always lived. I grew up in a Christian home with Christian friends in a Christian school, and I never really saw anything, you know, out of the ordinary. And I went down there, and I was working with the high schoolers, and I was blown away just by just a lot of the things that they have to go through. I was so used to just a nice white neighborhood with just a nice loving family and everything. And I went downtown and I witnessed a tremendously different style of worship, a tremendously different lifestyle in itself. But most of all, when we went to Faithful, we were accepted with open arms, and we were just loved. I've never felt love like that before. It's just you walk in, and everyone's like, hi, and they're all kissing you on the cheek and everything, and you're just like, oh, wow. You know, it's kind of overwhelming at first, but it's awesome. You're just loved completely. And I was in the Light Company, and that's the junior high and high school group, and I really, really enjoyed it. I think I learned a lot more from them than I actually taught. What I really learned was how down there in the inner city, everything's black or white. There's no gray areas at all. It's like you either live for the Lord or you get swept in to the harsh realities of the world. And that just made me see just how so many times I just compromise and I just live a mediocre life where I'm just not totally sold out to God. And just a couple instances I wanted to share with you. When we first got there, there was this guy there, and he's a senior, and he was being threatened by one of the gangs to join their gang or else he would kill them, or, you know, they would kill him. And it was just incredible just to see that, you know, he was actually having his life threatened, and he would not join that gang. And it just, you know, to have someone like bring a gun to you, it's like, oh my goodness. And then also around Christmas time, there's a couple of the guys in there, and they had three of their really, really good friends killed in just 1 week. They were killed. And it was a drive-by shooting, and I've never dealt with a close friend of mine being killed or anything like that. And just to talk to them and see how it wasn't something that was traumatic for them, because they're so used to death and death is around them all the time, and it wasn't traumatic. And I was like blown away. I was like, your three friends were killed? And they were like, yeah. It was amazing. I just wanted to share some verses with you today. It's James 4:14-17. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the next day, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanishes away. For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, for to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. And that to me just showed that, you know, we can't just go on just living day by day in a complacent, mediocre life. We really have to make a stand.
Thanks. Our ministry team down at First EV Free of Los Angeles was working with two congregations, actually. One was a Hispanic ministry, and the other was working with the English-speaking white Anglo church, like we are, most of us, down there. And two of our primary ministries were involved in tutoring students in their homes and then working with teaching English as a second language classes. And we're also involved in teaching Sunday school classes, working with the youth. A couple of our team members had opportunity to preach on Sundays. And just an exciting ministry down in the church. I think one of the things that most impacted our students is to realize that the ministry is basically just sharing your life and being sensitive to the needs that the people have. One of our students this last semester, Chris Holowaty, had an opportunity to do that, to share his life with a student he was tutoring and to see that young man make a commitment to Jesus Christ. And it was just exciting to see that Chris had a built-in follow-up system, because he was going back every week to tutor this student with his homework, and yet that wasn't the main focus. He was able then to begin to teach him the basics of having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And just an exciting opportunity to be involved down in the inner city. And I've asked one of our team members, Sean Harrelson, to share a little bit with you.
Well, we have a good time on ministry team. As Dave said, we have the opportunity, the joy of ministering to a predominantly Spanish and Mexican community down in southern L.A. And what the ministry team does is it affords us the opportunity to do two things. Number one, to form bonds with the other team members to encourage each other, to pray together, to just to share each other's hearts. And the second thing it does is it helps us develop relationships with the people in the community to know their needs and to empathize with their hurts. And if you're in the tutoring, which is what I do, you get to go into the homes and see where they live, and you should see where they live. They're small, and a lot of times there are a lot of people in these small apartments. And you can just tell by looking at them that they have to cooperate to live together. And yet they're so giving. Mexican people are so giving. They give us food, tamales, everything. But I wonder sometimes if I'm not the student, and I am a lot of times. But I think our emphasis, as Dave said, is not so much overt evangelism as it is to live a life of integrity and compassion with the people that we're involved with. And like I said, I'm the one who learns the lessons a lot of times. And a couple of the main lessons I've learned is in the area of integrity is that we're not responsible to a program, but we're responsible to people, to individuals, or to groups of people as in the ESL classes. And in the area of compassion, and I think this is probably the most valuable lesson that I've learned, is that to love other people and the love that we should have for other people, the lost, does not come from within us. And we cannot produce it, and we cannot falsify it. But it is something that the Holy Spirit has to place within us and work out through us, and in His power, in His way. And I just like to close with a quote from a book by Sammy Tippett called The Prayer Factor. And he says, if we are to reach this generation for Christ, there must be men and women in every nation whose hearts hurt for their countrymen. Jesus had compassion for the multitudes 2,000 years ago. And although the multitudes are greater today, He loves and cares for every individual. We need to look at the masses of humanity through the eyes of Jesus. We will see people, real people, hurting people. Too many of us see people only as objects. We need a touch, a fresh touch from God. We need to feel the heart of the compassionate King. Thank you.
Thank you all. In addition to the two inner city ministry teams that we have, as I said earlier, we've had a vast variety of different ministry opportunities in local churches throughout the area and in also the Los Angeles area. And one of the largest ministry teams that we have presently is the Grace Community Church Juvenile Hall Ministry. We've got a lot of gals and guys in that ministry that are ministering, and they have an opportunity to go into the juvenile hall to minister, to meet on a one-on-one basis, to have a relationship and to disciple. This morning I've asked Heather Harshman if she would come. She's a member of the juvenile hall gals team, and I asked her to just share just a little bit with us in light of what the Lord has taught her and also what He's used her in the life of the gal that she works with.
When he first asked me to share a little bit about what I'd learned, I thought, wow, you know, there's so much that you learn through this. I feel more like the student, as they were saying, than I feel like I'm going in there teaching the girls. But basically my experience, I've been through three different girls now, and my last girl has, for me, been the most exciting. But I can remember sitting in chapel on a Wednesday and listening, and I tried to look up who it was, and I couldn't remember who it was, talking about holiness and about one of the aspects of holiness was a passion for souls. And I thought, you know, here I am on a ministry team, and I go every week, and I talk to these girls, but it's all small talk. I don't really have a passion for why I'm there. So I can remember praying, Lord, give me a passion for the souls of just these two girls that I'm working with right now so that I can see a change in them. And that night, I mean, He just blew me out of the water, because that night I went to ministry team, and these two girls had argued with one another. And if you know anything about juvenile hall girls, when they argue, it's not verbal, it's physical, and their thought is, I'm going to kill you. But that's what they think. So I'm sitting there at the table. They won't talk to each other. And I'm sitting here just going, okay, Lord, what in the world do I do? And so I thought, well, I'll just do what I would do if it was my friends. And I just said to him, how would the Lord want you to react to this? And they just looked at me like, the Lord? Who really cares about the Lord? And so I got to to sit there and tell them about a loving relationship with the Lord and how that goes on over into your life and your relationships with other people. And that just, from there, we just sat for like 30 minutes, and they asked me some of the most difficult questions I'd ever been asked in my life. And I'm going, okay, Lord, you answer them. I don't know, you know. So you know when the Holy Spirit is speaking through you, because it wasn't me. Well, I got to share the whole plan of salvation that night, and I really felt like one of my girls, her name's Kendra, was really, really interested. So I was like, Lord, you know, I came back, and I didn't get to talk to her for 2 weeks. Well, the week after spring break, I came back, and the first word she said to me when I walked in, she grabbed me, and she goes, Heather, I've been saved. And I was like, yay, you know. And I was just like, and then I thought, oh, wait a minute. Let me ask you, what's salvation, you know? I was like, test, you know? So, I went through the whole salvation with her, and she is saved. I mean, she puts me to shame. So I'm just really excited for her. And that next week, I gave her some passages to study, and she came back with some theology that within 1 week, she came back with theology that I was just like, how did you know that? She goes, well, it's written right here. And I'm like, okay, it's right there. But just to close really quick, I just want to read to you one of, she writes down her prayers, and I asked her if I could read this to show you all her heart. And she was like, okay, if you think they want to hear it. And I'm like, yeah, I think they will, you know. So she writes, Dear Lord Almighty, glory be to you forever and ever. Father, I can't express the love and gratitude I feel for you. I can feel and see you working through me. Thank you for leaving your word on earth so I can learn more about you. It's amazing. But Father, would you reach the rest of the world? Please give me the strength and courage and wisdom to tell more and more people about your love and grace. Help me to spread your flame. Please keep the flame burning in my heart. I thank you, Lord, for being you. P.S. See you soon. Love, Kendra.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you.
Well, that's the heart of the whole thing. This next song talks about that. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. And that's an interesting thought. It's very easy to pray or sing the song, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Until we find out that he wants to lead us into a place where we feel like we're losing control. Until he wants to lead us into a place that we don't fully know the end from the beginning. Until he wants to lead us into a place that requires faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And that verse comes in a part of Scripture that talks about Abraham and Isaac and Moses and all the great men of faith who walked away from a life merely on the promises of God. They had nothing to hold on to except the promise of God. It was an abandonment to the person of Christ. Where you lead me, I will follow you, even though I don't know where you're taking me. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Let's stand together and sing it. The men on verse 2.
We are thine, thou befriend us, be the guardian of our way. Keep thy promises and defend us, take us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus. Jesus, blessed Jesus,
Please.
A few days ago, I shared a little bit about what the Lord had in store for the Master's Chorale in England. Just to recap that, we have opportunities in evangelical churches. We're going to be taking part in two Anglican churches in their services, being a service choir, singing at the Lichfield Cathedral, singing at Canterbury Cathedral, doing an album with the London Philharmonic Brass that will be distributed all throughout this country. You might pray concerning that. We have yet to see any of that music yet. And that might be one great rehearsal in the sky on the way over. You know, I looked at the request that we had made in praying for financial support and praying for good health and so forth. I guess our main prayer is that we're going to have a real job for us when we get over there to invest in the lives of people. Because if the Lord has a real job for us to do, we're all going to get there and we're all going to be healthy and we're all going to have the finances. Because He has the job and He's going to bring the monies in. But health is very, very important. And pray for their ministry, and keeping 53 people together is always a challenge. And the transportation that is involved and the places to stay, half of the places are in scattered throughout 7 or 8 different bed and breakfasts in places like Bristol and London and Cambridge. And so pray concerning that. And as I think of majesty, I guess my heart is like the Apostle Paul in Romans 1. I'm eager to go and to share the gospel to those who are in Rome. I want to encourage those people. I want to encourage the saints. I wish that in verse 9, I think, of Romans 1, Paul said, the reputation of your excitement for the things of God comes to me. I hear about that every place I go. Certainly wish that was true in Rome today. When we visited and took a similar group in 1983, I realized what it meant to greet the brethren with a holy kiss. Incredible thing, folks, when you realize that most of the Christians in Rome are from completely unsaved families, and they can't wait to get together in their churches. And our first concert in Rome that we did in 83 started at 6 o'clock. We walked out of the church about 11:45 at night. They don't want to leave because they know when they go home, the pressures all start all over again. So we want to encourage the Christians. We want to have an impact on the unsaved. We're seeking a concert at St. John's, which is right next to St. Peter's Basilica. And we're doing concerts all throughout Italy for 3 weeks. And our contact is Fred Whitman, who's a missionary there, been there for 18 years, operates a 24-hour radio station, is on television 3 times a day. And basically the contacts that he has from towns and cities who have expressed the most interest in hearing the gospel presentation and seeing other Christians. Those are the contacts where we'll be doing concerts in those towns and cities. One city that we did a concert in 83, there was one mother and her daughter who were saved. The only ones, to his knowledge, that were saved in the whole city. When that concert started, they were the only ones in the audience. That was it. And we opened the windows and we started singing and people started coming in. And when we ended, I'd like to say there was 500, but when we ended, there's about 30. I think Fred had paid a few people to come in so we wouldn't feel so bad, you know. It's an incredible opportunity. Planting seeds, folks. And then in Germany, Howard Wilson, who always comes in October to the Shepherd's Conference, works with Americans who are in the service on military bases. The only time I've ever been in churches where I have sensed the entire church hadn't lost their first love were those churches. Most of the people in these military churches, they're saved when they're there. They have nothing in common with the German economy. They don't speak the language. The television is all in German. Their whole life revolves around the church. Whole church not losing their first love. A prayer meeting service on a Wednesday night, the church was jammed and overflowing. And then going on to Spain for our last week. Actually, Larry and Roseanne Thornburg, who is Spencer Thornburg's parents, will be leading us in that, singing in their church and other churches and concert halls. Mari Montejo, of course, is from Spain, and she'll be with us, she and Spencer. And so that's kind of, in a nutshell, our ministry. And Majesty's going to sing a song called Cornerstone that's taken from the musical, The Day He Wore My Crown. We're doing 85 pages of music in Italian, folks. And that needs some special prayer. And they're going to be singing Cornerstone in Italian.
Raise it on the grave.
Take my life and let it.
You know, it is because of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions, they fail not. They're new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And you know, this chapel reminds me of the faithfulness of God. As we started in last September, just praying and asking the Lord to direct us and what he would have us to do regarding missions, we had no idea that we would be sending well over 150 individuals on the foreign field. And that's including Corral. And we praise God for that. And it just reminds us of his faithfulness. We'd like to share just briefly those members that will be going. And we have given out a brochure. And included in that brochure are the prayer requests. And we're not going to review those requests. But we would just like for you to hear the names of those people that will be going abroad. We omitted to indicate the India team, and we apologize for that. We will be placing their prayer requests in the campus update. But for our India team, those individuals going will be Carrie Baker, Amy Orr, Kristen Seitz, Tom Shuck, Sanjeev Saint, Ben Law, and Jim Owen. And we just ask that you be in prayer for them, and we know they will probably experience the most severe culture shock. We also have a team going to Africa, and their time will be spent in Kenya, and that's through the Master's Mission. And the individuals are Becky King, Cindy Bemis, Cliff Smith, Jeff Weibel, Chip Kling, and myself. We have a team going to South Africa, Johannesburg, and I'm sure you all have heard of apartheid, and this team will be faced with some racial tension, and we just ask that you pray that the Lord can use them to make a difference. And those members are Tim McWhorter, Sherry Mabbs, and David Gambala. We're really excited about Love Europe and spending 2 weeks in Germany sharing the gospel in a massive evangelistic outreach. And those members are Lisa King, Janet Feel, Roxanne Omelkzuk, Danny Bevins, Jody Denui, Dana Swede, Terry Bear, Ken Ramey, Jorge Balba, Tammy Beach, Tammy Stover, Debbie Vunder, Gail Bird, and Mark Tadlock. Brian Allen will be leading a team to China, and they will be teaching English as a second language. And as the Lord provides opportunity, they'll share their faith. And they are Becky Hodgkins, Susan Ellie, Kurt Guthrie, Joy Clark, Shauna Henry, and Brian Allen, who's the leader. We also are excited about the Dulos, the ship that will be in Australia. And Ricardo Morales is leading that team. The members are Barbie Hergert, Jane Stower, Carol Hagen, Matt Nui, Steve Kirchmeyer, Ricardo Morales, Dwayne Frederick, Forrest Haskins, Shelley Bias, Becky Haskins, Steve Cassidy, and Kata Culper. We have a sports ministry going to the Philippines, and they'll be using basketball as a means for evangelizing. And those members are Jerry Bagamano, Mel Hankinson, Darren Beck, Jeff Preston, Dave Montgomery, Robert Dobson, Rick Hoppe, Brian Foster, Paul Ludke, Roger Oswald, and also Nancy McCassell will be going to the Philippines. As Mark stated earlier, we had a real thrust for the inner city, and we praise God that we're going to be sending a team to Los Angeles this summer. And those members are Mary Rutherford, Harold Buzes, and Lee Williams, and they'll be spending time at EV Free in L.A. We also have a number of individual ministries, and we'll call the places off that they're going in their names. To Europe, we have Heather Cucker, Corrine Smith, and Angie Huddleston. Also, Mindy Morris will be going to Europe. To Greece, we have Jennifer Holmes, France, Ted Haas. England, Gail Garman, Brazil, David Tallman, New Zealand, Sharon Mason, and to Peru, we have Rosa Manresa. We also have a few local ministries, and we didn't want to leave any out, and we know we have people that will be ministering throughout the summer, and we wish that we could call all of your names off, but we can't right now. But we have a few more. To 29 Psalms, Palms, pardon me. Oh, boy. I have been meditating in the Psalms. We have John Hardesty, who will be going there. And to Kostiak will be Dave and Deanne DeVries. And I'd just like for you all to take a look in the brochure and please be in prayer. We've raised about 45% of our support so far, which means that we have 55% still to go. And we just ask that you please be in prayer. Thank you.
Well, that's great. 150 of us overseas in various places this summer. Praise God for that. Well, as a part of our Great Commission Chapel, we want you to find somebody next to you that you can pray with now. We want to spend a little time in small prayer groups for whatever God's touched your heart this morning. He may have touched your heart in a commitment that you want to make personally to Him about your own life. Or you know these people, who's going and who needs help, and they're in your dorms and everything. You could pray together with a partner for them. All right, so we want to do that this morning. And when you pray, pray out loud. And you know how that is. We've done that in before. It gets kind of loud, and we sound like we're having a charismatic service. But that's all right. You just put your heads together and pray and beseech and lift these people up before the Lord. And to do that, we're going to have my sister's in town. I don't know if some of you have ever met my sister, Cheryl Larson. She lives up in Solvang. Some of you remember her. She's here today, and she's going to kind of begin our time for us with a song that really strikes at what Great Commission Chapel is all about. It's entitled "Wherever You Lead Me," and she'll sing that. And when she's finished singing that, then that's your signal to go to prayer. All right, let that song kind of prepare your heart for prayer, as the rest of this chapel has. When she's finished with that first song, then we can all go to prayer. Jill will play a little bit in the background for us, and then Cheryl's going to come back up and sing the first two verses of "Great is Thy Faithfulness," and then we can all join in the third. All right? So that's kind of how this part will go. Cheryl, come on up and sing for us.
Wherever you may lead me, I want to follow you. If to Africa so distant, or to China's breathless view, where the people recognize me, or if they never know my name, I will follow you just the same. If you lead me to the city where people's lives just waste away, I will call on your name for my strength. I will listen and I'll pray. In those times of persecution, I am sufficient in your love. You're always with me, looking down from above. Oh Lord, I want to be your servant, though I don't always know how. Yet you promised to be with me, and Lord, I need you with me now. And as I see you in each moment, day by day and week by week, I will follow you wherever you may lead.
God and Father, your faithfulness to us is truly beyond measure, even as Sharon would so beautifully sing, and even as we would have this time of focus on just a little bit of what you have done this year through ministry teams and the wonderful fruit, and we just heard about a tiny, tiny amount of it this morning. Lord, we're filled with gratitude. We thank you for helping us when we didn't know how we were going to pay our school bill. And as we look to the future, we know you're going to do that again. We thank you for helping us on examinations when we hadn't studied the way we should have. Thank you for helping us in difficult relationship situations, for helping us get jobs when we needed them. Lord, we thank you for bringing us all together at this place where we can study your word and where we can take seriously your commandment to take the good news of Christ to the lost world around us. And so we are thrilled with thankful hearts, our Father, as we contemplate a summer of unparalleled ministry opportunities for the Master's College. We think of all these young men and women and faculty and staff that you're freeing up to really go to the ends of the earth. And to think that you've equipped each one of them, and you've planned this in eternity past, and each one perfectly designed by you to meet and encounter and touch hearts and lives this summer that you've also planned for them in eternity past, even through cultural barriers and language barriers. And Lord, we thank you for the missionaries that are available to open the doors, for the mission agencies that are willing to cooperate with us. We thank you for churches that will get behind financially and family and friends. And Lord, most of all, I would want to thank you for those who are going to pray and who are praying already. Thank you for the power that can only come from your prayer. We pray for each one of us who will stay behind this summer. Help us to be faithful in prayer. Help us to seize opportunities to send a word and note of encouragement. And we would pray also for those who would stay behind this summer and need jobs and don't have those jobs yet. We pray you would provide for those jobs and for the opportunities that we got a glimpse of it called a marketplace. We think of people that those who stay behind are going to have opportunity to touch for the Lord Jesus this summer. We thank you in advance for what you're going to do there. Lord, we would pray for health and safety. We would pray for unity. We would pray that every person going overseas or going into the marketplace here would learn what you want them to learn this summer. God, we pray for a wonderful, great spiritual harvest here in America and all around the globe as we pray, trusting in you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.